Have you noticed that politicians struggle to enact the things they run on? That regardless of who wins elections, that they cannot pass whatever legislation they like? It's the Overton window at work. This idea, coined by the Mackinac Center's Joe Overton, describes the range of ideas that are politically acceptable at any time. And on the Overton Window podcast, we look at how ideas move from being unthinkable to plausible to policy and speak with the people who change what is possible in politics. My dear listener, families in Detroit have been subjected to options that fail to fulfill their education needs. Instead, they have decided to take action and create alternative opportunities. Today, I'm joined by Jaquetta Lee, a Detroit mother and advocate who is working to improve educational outcomes. Jaquetta, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Of course. We're so happy that you're here today and that you've joined the podcast. So I would like to start with a question of what is the state of Detroit's education landscape today?
Terrible. Terrible. Pretty trash. It's trash. It's not. It's good people. It's some good teachers. Some good teachers who try to make a difference in a dysfunctional system.
Mm-hmm. So as you've engaged across conversations and maybe with others in the community, what do you think drives that dysfunction, or what do you think the real problems are within that dysfunction?
One thing is it's not enough parent involvement. My background is medical. One of my backgrounds is medical. And one thing I always say, I say this quite often, and it goes to education. We have people who makes policies who are not clinicians. And we have people that's making policies that's not teachers. They don't know what the hell they're doing. And so as in healthcare and in education, nothing is one size fits all. Human bodies are not one size fits all. And they do that in medical, and then they do that in education. Just because A, B, C, and D kid was able to understand it, that don't mean D, C, and F would too. So we have to find something that that both sets of children can learn from. And I'm finding that everything is cookie cutter. Everything is one size fits all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not true.
Yeah. So when you're talking about things that are one size fits all, do you mean mainly like the public school system and like the way it's run?
And just education, period. Just if you have, for instance, I have a child that's homeschooled now because he has inattentive ADHD and he's quiet. So he kind of got pushed. And because he's quiet and doesn't have behaviors. So, nothing's wrong with him. That's what they would say. But you can't educate him like you educate another child that's in the same class. We have to learn. For one thing, I learned boys and girls learn different. And then on top of that, environment, home environment, it's a lot of things that go along with it. And they push in the same educational system that we had. First of all, education hasn't even changed in over, what did they say? Is it 100 and something years? We haven't changed the educational system, but we can't teach them all the same. We have to learn the weaknesses from the strengths. Like if a child is stronger in here, put the strong child with the weak child. Because children teach each other, children teach each other. So it's just overall, it's like I say, it's a one size fits all. And what we're doing is not working. It's not working. Because we have children out here that's not educated.
Mm-hmm.
We have children out here that can't read. We have children out here that's not learning. And it's because it's just give them this. And they're not learning. They're not learning anything. They're not getting proper equipment and proper books and proper education and proper time to learn. That's what I think. That's what I see.
Yeah.
When I'm advocating for children, that's what I see.
Yeah. So based on what you've seen in Detroit schools and your own experiences, how has that shaped the work you're doing today to help solve some of these issues or work on these issues?
You know what? In my, I teach the class at Engage Detroit. And I teach with no books, but I'm more hands-on. So I've learned to pay attention to the children and know my audience. And I teach based on that. And I try to problem solve based on that, on the individual child. I try to teach and I've learned to pay attention to the child, pay attention to the children and the environment. Be present, pay attention to the children in the class, and learn them to see their weaknesses and their strengths. That's what I've learned. That's how I teach. That's
Yeah.
how I deal with it. Yeah.
How long have you been teaching in Engage Detroit then with like the homeschooling co-op?
I think I've been teaching for the last 3 years, but I think I've been a part of them for 5 years. Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. So what
And
kind of, since you've been there for like, a good amount of time, what kind of outcomes and like changes have you seen in the kids that do participate in the homeschooling co-op?
Well, homeschool children are socialized a little different. And so, you have to handle them a little differently. And so, I see the difference in how when I teach them, I get emails that say, I just got one actually, an inbox that said, oh, one of my students went home and she cooked pancakes. And she was like, Mom Joe told me we can't eat Takis for breakfast. We have to get up and make yogurt cups or fruit or yeah. And so that's the difference I see. I was like, you can't eat potato chips in the morning. You have to have some nourishment in the morning. So my children are taking my lessons and going back home and implementing them. I'm teaching them, yeah.
Yeah. So it's awesome to see, those nutrition lessons and those different things that you can instill in kids.
Yeah.
So maybe that's not an option. Maybe we don't see that as much in public school. So what do you think the benefits of having more options like a homeschooling co-op or a micro school or even school of choice allows for families in Detroit?
I think you should. Each child is different. Some children need public school is fine. Other children is not. School of choice is good. You have to learn your child and listen to your child, and you have to do what's best for your child. Sometimes we get homeschool children who do both. They do public and home. They do their, they go to school and then they come to our classes for other continuing education. And they learn from us and them. So you just have to learn your child. So I think with that question, if I'm answering it correctly, I think when you learn your child, you have to choose the best option to teach and educate your child. That's what I think.
Yeah. So having when you do, look at your child and you decide what's best for them, having more options can
Right.
usually make it a little bit stronger and maybe help
Yes.
that family and that child.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you mentioned your own child too. So what kind of schooling are they in and how have you seen a difference maybe from public school to what you chose for them?
Well, he's 16 now. I've been homeschooling since 7th grade. He's in 11th grade now. Is he going to 11th grade this year? Yeah, he's going to 11th grade. So, I have tutors that come in. I have a tutor. He has two tutors that come in. I've seen a difference as far as his anxiety isn't as bad because those deadlines and that time, they don't give you time to process. Everything is quick, and he has the time to sit down and learn. So I've seen a difference, and I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna give you a good example. When I took him out of school, that's next year, I watched the whole anxiety go away. I watched his whole body change. He was no longer, didn't want to get up in the morning, fidgety and upset and anxiety. I watched all of that change because he was in a controlled environment, a better controlled environment. Yeah. Yeah. So,
So having that opportunity to choose homeschooling was beneficial for your child and your family. So what kind of policy or different resource do you think that could help families make that option? Like, where do you see that connection maybe?
Where do I see a policy that we could get to give children that have more homeschooling or just...
Yeah, like a policy like that, or just something that you think would most benefit kids to be able to allow them to make choices that are, or families to make choices for kids.
I think anybody that could come up with a policy to have, let me tell you what I think. I think when we make policies, we should bring children in the room. How about that? How about we go get some kids from K to 12 for each section and have kids help make policy? Why is adults make a policy for kids? I'm just saying we have to do some of it, but why isn't the person that you're making a policy for not in the room? We don't ask their opinion. I think that's what I think. We should go get children to help make policy to see what it is that they need and what they're lacking. To help make better policy.
Yeah. So you talk about kids being in the room and maybe like parents as well. So why do you think it's so important for parents and educators and community members to work together to improve education in a way that maybe like, for example, Bernita is doing with Engage Detroit and bringing so many community members in Detroit together?
Say that question again.
Oh, sorry. Why do you think it's important for parents and educators and community members to work together to improve education?
Because it improves the children. If we work together and put our differences out, we make the world better. If we could change the kids, we change the world. It's just important to do it. We have to put the differences to the side and we work together. And it goes from, again, what I just said about the kids, principals. Well, what is it? Superintendents? Well, actually, no. Government.
Yep.
Legislation. We're coming down to principals, superintendents, principals, parents, teachers, children. We all should be in this room making policies and making things to make the children better so they can change because they know what they want. They know what they want. And I don't know what an 8-year-old wants. I mean, as far as teaching, I know some of it. But even when, if you've ever been in my class, which I'm sure you'll visit, I'll ask them, what do y'all want to cook next week? Oh, we want to make this. We want to make that. And guess what? When they make that decision, they stand by it. And I'm going to tell you something that I learned about teaching with cooking. Even when kids make something that's nasty, they made it, they eat it. Because they're proud of it. You get what I'm saying? So imagine if a child had the opportunity, just say if we got an eighth grader, if we got 5 8th graders together, and we said, we're going to take you to Lansing. We're going to let y'all help make policy. I guarantee you, if other children found out children made it, and those 5 children knew that they helped create a policy, it would change everything. Because they feel involved.
Yeah.
They feel like they are part. We don't make children feel like they are part of anything. Even in parenting, sometimes we're like, well, we're the parent, we make the better choice, but it's them. They have autonomy over themselves too.
Yeah.
So they should be able to speak for themselves. Yeah. That's what I feel.
Yeah. Especially in the ways you've seen it in the classroom and how they should be more involved in decision making within that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Is there any community work or community conversations you've heard, like either Engage Detroit or any other goals and ways of supporting students and improving education in Detroit that come to mind?
Not right offhand. Anyway, I have to think about that one. We could circle back to that question.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we might have touched on this one a little bit, but what motivates you to want to make changes in your community? What makes you show up to Engage Detroit?
Because I know that they're going to be our future, and our future is very important. And we can think it's a game, but these are the children that's going to take care. I'm taking care of people now. My background is medical and I do a lot of hospice. I need other children to come behind me for when it's my turn. And we need people that's educated and know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to know what they're doing, you know. So we it's important, and it motivates me, and it feels good to watch children just like mold themselves and learn themselves. And next thing you know, you look up and they're adults, and you're like, oh, I'm at Harvard, I'm here, I'm there. Yes, it's a motivation to watch of people that's coming after me not struggle as much, because actually it should be better, and to see them just blossom.
That's awesome. And maybe also in a way too, your experiences in Detroit schools can also, and seeing that firsthand could also serve as motivation in some ways too. Going back to what you said earlier, How do you think that kids are still being taught the same from when you were in Detroit schools? I think you mentioned earlier that you think they're being taught like in very
Yeah,
similar
they are.
ways.
Everything is still cookie cutter. Why are we still doing tests? Why are we still timing? Why are we still timing tests? Why are we doing cookie cutter standard tests? And I'm gonna tell you, I got a cousin that is a PhD MD, and he did a test. Well, it's been tests that people know. Some people are great test takers, and some people aren't. We know that in education. My cousin, you would they deemed him as he wasn't competent. But then my aunt went in the room and did it differently, and he flat flying colors. That's what I'm saying. It's all about knowing children, and we can't do cookie cutter things. Every child is different, and we're giving children standardized tests, and some kids are not test takers, and they're failing and looking like they're failing, but actually the test was a cookie cutter test, and it was forced, and it was anxiety, and it was timed. I'm not saying that we shouldn't give children deadlines and timelines. I understand that, but I'm saying the educational system is not, they haven't changed anything. They haven't, even when it comes to just going down to what is that thing called? What is that we ask for when we get children that's falling behind, and then we test them out to get a
Oh, is it like an IEP or
yes, even with an IEP, I am still shocked that parents are coming to schools asking for IEPs. Why? When you had my child, you didn't notice that on your standardized test that you've given? You didn't notice that? We have to tell parents, go on there and ask for that, the IEP. Why doesn't educators and teachers' aides and teachers know, okay, Johnny over here struggling. Let me ask his mother, can we do an IEP? Some teachers do that, but a lot of them don't.
So they're not fully paying attention or
And they're not invested. They're
and
not
not
fully invested. They're not
So
invested
that's
in their children.
So that's when a parent might be able to make that decision to move their kids somewhere else and move into something smaller or more suitable. So having that choice again as a family is super important. So how do you think a flexible, or do you think flexible education funding would help families access better educational options for their children?
Do I think flexible will help the families? I think it would if they know what they're doing with it. But I don't think it's going to work if they don't do it right and they don't educate the pa families on it. It's going to all go back into cookie cutter. Because what'll happen is they'll put this fake model up and it's like, oh, come over here, like they did with some of the charter schools, not all. Come over here. Oh, the school's better over here. But then guess what? 5 years later, it's the same. It's the same. You have to educate people and and let parents understand what's going on and paying attention. And parents have to as well want their children to do better as too. Now don't have me get into the parents. But I'm just saying, you know, we on education, but it has to be reciprocated on both sides. The parents have to do their job and the teacher has to do their job. But I think the flexible spending will work if they do it properly. They're not. They're not. I'm sorry. They're not. They're not gonna do it. They just don't. We just don't do stuff right. We just don't. I can see how it goes. It's gonna end up money gonna end up in other people's hand who could care less about children.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be some involvement with education for parents.
Yeah. So that's kind of how maybe Educate or Engage Detroit and Bernina's community group can help to, you know, be a community resource and help to spread, you know, maybe about the education spending or just provide more resources for parents and more information. So starting maybe a community group like that is helpful in giving those parents and kids another option.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something else. The one beautiful thing about us is being that we do prepared facilitators, which is what I am.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about this, if you give parents the power to facilitate things in school, I think things would change because what the principals would learn, a lot of stuff would be lifted off their chest.
Mm-hmm.
If you give the parents the responsibility, some things would be lifted off their chest.
Yeah.
Delegate and pass out some assignments.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have, you know, I'm sure you've read about students where, you know, what's that money called? What's the Title One?
Yeah.
And they have some parents who, you know, and I'm gonna tell you something, when you go to a principal about Title One, sometimes they get little attitudes because they don't want you to know about it. But when you say, well, where's the Title I? Because you have the right to go to a person, but like, well, how is the Title I money being spent?
Mm-hmm.
You have, I don't know this one lady, but she's here in the city. She had the Title I, some of the money for washers and dryers. Mm-hmm. She let the parents come in, or she would delegate assignments, well, give out assignments to different people to help wash their clothes and have them ready when, you know, they bring them in the morning. By the time they leave, they're done and washed. It's just we need to all be involved so we can take the pressure out off the pipe.
Mm-hmm.
If you add more people and more work, it won't be so stressful.
Yeah.
If we did it for a year and they said, we allow two parent facilitators a day to go into a class.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine the help that would help a teacher?
Yeah. Yeah.
Something so simple.
Yeah. Involvement and transparency, allowing people in the classroom to see what's going on. That's very important. Yes.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it would take the pressure off the student. The teacher, like, oh, I got two people in here, and it's a parent, and they helping me pass out, helping me with the, you know, of course we do background checks and things like that, but just helping her. So, because we already have an overcrowded system, because mm-hmm. what is it, 30 to 40 kids in a class?
Yeah.
With one person. So imagine two more people in there. That's 30. That's three people. So that's 40. Just say if it's 40 children, that's 12 children apiece that can help. She can do the basic assignments, but I'm just saying helping with the pressure that's on the teacher to try to get the kids to learn and educate all at the same time and flow together, do everything together and help each other together. It will help, and it will teach children responsibility and will teach children to share and help each other as well. I think. I could be wrong, but I think, you know.
That makes sense. Yeah, especially, you know, you have a little bit of background in Engage Detroit, and it's run similarly to that. So how do you think your time being an educator in Engage Detroit and also a parent policy fellow has helped you kind of develop these ideas and ways to improve education policy?
It's helped me because I seen my mistake. It showed me my mistakes of what I did. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to correct it with someone else's child.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's helped me correct it with my child, and it's helped me correct it with other children. So all of what I've been doing in education has shown me how broken the system is, but let me say something positive. I also know it's so much other great things going on in the city of Detroit, because we have some hell of a scholars coming out of the city. We have some great artists. I know some great children doing great things, but I'm tired of the exception to the rule. I want them all to be. I want all of them to be these scholars and these creatives and these cooks and these chefs and these farmers. I want them all to do it. I don't want 100 kids out of 10,000 kids. I want 10,000 children to be able to learn together.
To read.
Simple reading. Yeah.
Something that seems so rudimentary, so basic. Yeah, I agree. Is there anything else you want to touch on, your own work in Detroit, in Detroit schools, or anything else that did Engage Detroit?
Well, my work stems from the Engage Detroit and in the community, because along I'm a patient advocate. I also work with CWO Farms. I'm a resident chef, so I help other farms start, and I teach other nutrition and education to children and adults. I have seniors too, because the seniors don't know how to eat either. So I have to teach them about their diabetes, because I was once diagnosed with it, and I got myself under control, lost the weight. I'm 52 pounds down now and trying to get more. And so I tie it all together. I tie everything. I work within the community, and I tie it all together between education. Oh, wow. I didn't even think about it till now. I work in education. I work in ag, and I work and help people transition out. You know, so I touch all sides of life.
Yeah.
From children from birth to death. Yeah. That's my work.
Yeah. How do you think the nutrition education helps benefit kids? Like something maybe most schools wouldn't teach. What benefits do you see in that?
You think better when you're on a full stomach. And it teaches them how to, it's basic. I don't understand how I went to school from 7 to 3:30. I think that's 8 to 3:30. We had gym. We had, what was that? Culinary arts, but it was called, what was it called in school?
What was it called? Like life skills when I was in school.
Yeah, life skills. Why are we not teaching that? Why are we not teaching banking? Why are we not, you know what I'm saying? Why are we not teaching that? And what changed from I was born in 77. I'm not ashamed of that. What happened from 80s to now that kids don't go to gym or don't have culinary arts or don't have life skills? What happened? What changed with AI and things like that? You would think that we should be able to do it. Everybody should have basic reading, like me, you and I discussed just now, learning how to cook, even sewing. You know, when I grew up, we had to learn how to sew a button. You know, basic life things. Everybody should be afforded the basics.
Yes.
The basics in reading, learning how to cook, learning how to change oil, learning how to do a button, learning how to, even if it's just, and I think farming is basic because it's you have to eat. And teaching people how to take care of plants. It's basic stuff we should be teaching to children. Hell, these adults don't know how to do it. Some of these adults don't know how to do it, but just teaching them stuff. I enjoy my work. I enjoy, I'm passionate about, everything I do. I'm a bit fast at times. I love Bernita because she opened her doors up and she allows the parents to have a voice in the children. And you know, she'll tell you in a minute, I don't know, ask the parents.
Yeah.
She throws it back because she don't want to, it's not an ego thing for her. Is she wants to help us all.
Yes.
And I she's a model to me, which makes me know this is how we should do it. Don't keep it for yourself. Give out those assignments to them parents. And you, as you know, you've been in the building. We had them parents in there because you can't just drop your kids off and leave. You got to help. You got to help cut and cook. Yeah. And in my class, I usually have two to three parents a class to help with slicing and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So just that parent involvement, you know, letting them also make choices for their students. Super important. So
very important.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Overton Window, a podcast from the Mackinac Center. Please subscribe and rate. For more, check us out at www.mackinac.org. That's Mackinac with a C, like the island.